from Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Online streaming, voanews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From
this is Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the headlines. Indonesia mitigates hantavirus spread, prevents COVID-19 scenario from reoccurring. Indonesia and Singapore strengthen energy cooperation. I'm Ray, and this is the news in details. The threat of hantavirus has drawn the attention of the Indonesian government after 23 cases were found in 9 provinces. Speaker of the House of Representatives, Puan Maharani, has urged the government to immediately tighten surveillance at international entry points. Rizka Fadila with the full report.
The Indonesian House of Representatives has urged the government to strengthen surveillance against the potential spread of hantavirus in the country. The call came after the Ministry of Health recorded 23 hantavirus cases in Indonesia spread across 9 provinces from 2024 to 2026. Speaker of House of Representatives Puan Maharani on Thursday, May 12, urged the government not to take the findings lightly. According to Puan, anticipatory measures must be taken early so that the spread of hantavirus does not develop into a wider public health problem. Puan emphasized that surveillance must be strengthened at international entry points. This includes airports, seaports, and land border areas. She said the measure is important because the mobility of people and goods from abroad could become one of the entry points for potential health threats.
Jangan sampai kemudian nanti menganggap hal ini hal yang tidak.
We must not regard this as something that does not need anticipation and mitigation, only for it to spread and expand, leading to unwanted situations like what happened during COVID. From the start, the entry points that must be protected should be secured so that it does not spread without anticipation.
In addition to surveillance at national entry points, the House also urged the government to strengthen domestic mitigation measures. These efforts can be carried out through early detection, case monitoring, public education, and environmental control. The Ministry of Health stated that so far, no cases of hantavirus pulmonary syndrome or HPS have been found in Indonesia, unlike the case reported on the MV Honduras cruise ship. Acting Director General for Disease Prevention and Control at the Ministry of Health, Andi Saguni, explained that the cases found in Indonesia are of the hemorrhagic fever with renal syndrome or HFRS type. According to Andi, HFRS mainly attacks the kidneys and can cause serious health problems if not treated immediately. However, so far, there has been no evidence of human-to-human transmission of the HFRS type of hantavirus in Asia, including Indonesia.
Sampai sejauh ini, ya, melalui pemeriksaan PCR.
So far, based on PCR testing, the type of hantavirus identified is HFRS. This is different from the HPS type that occurred on the Honduras cruise ship.
Yang terjadi di kapal pesiar Honduras tersebut.
Hantavirus gained global attention following the death of 3 passengers aboard the luxury cruise ship MV Honduras while it was sailing in the Atlantic Ocean. The virus is known to spread through contact with infected rats or other rodents, including exposure to their urine, saliva, or droppings. Rizka Fadilah reporting from Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesia and Singapore are strengthening cooperation in the green energy sector as part of efforts to promote energy transition and sustainable development in the region. The cooperation covers the development of renewable energy, energy investment, and cross-border electricity interconnection. This commitment became one of the main focuses of the bilateral meeting between Indonesia Foreign Minister Sugiono and Singaporean Foreign Minister Vivian Balakrishnan in Jakarta on Tuesday. Desi Anugranov has the details.
Indonesia and Singapore continue to strengthen concrete cooperation in priority sector. One of the main focuses is green energy, ranging from energy transition and renewable energy development to cross-border electricity interconnection. The commitment was discussed during a bilateral meeting between Indonesia Foreign Minister Sugiono and Singaporean Foreign Minister Vivian Balakrishnan in Jakarta on Tuesday, May 12, 2026. Foreign Minister Sugiono said energy was one of the key issues discussed during the meeting. According to him, Indonesia and Singapore are discussing cross-border electricity development, including investment in sustainable energy. Sugiono expressed hope that the cooperation could grow into one of the largest electricity projects, particularly in sustainable electricity development.
And on energy, we're talking about cross-border electricity, state, and energy development and investment, that we are hoping to be the largest electricity project, especially the sustainable electricity project.
Meanwhile, Singaporean Foreign Minister Vivian Balakrishnan said Indonesia has enormous potential in the energy sector. He said that Indonesia's solar, geothermal, and hydropower potential as important asset in developing clean energy in the region. Vivian even described Indonesia as the major power in the energy sector. According to him, the challenge ahead is how to attract investment so that this energy project can grow and bring real benefit.
Indonesia has a vast potential in the energy space. Solar, geothermal, hydroelectric. In fact, I see Indonesia as a superpower. It's a matter of getting the investments to flow and getting these projects to fruition. We believe that Indonesia's economic development, Indonesia's plentiful energy potential, in fact, will also compensate as a
crucial hub for technology and for infrastructure financing.
In addition to energy, the two foreign ministers also discussed strengthening economic cooperation, the special economy zone, or as well as development of sustainable industrial estate. Cooperation in food security was also highlighted. Indonesia and Singapore discussed agribusiness partnership to strengthen regional supply chains, expanding bilateral relations beyond energy to include the economy and food security. Desi Anugranov, Voice of Indonesia.
The Indonesian government has again discussed preparation for the construction of giant seawall along the northern coast of Java Island on Tuesday, May 12, 2026. Quoting the Presidential Secretariat, Minister of Investment and Downstreaming, Rosan Roslani, said the government is currently preparing a development master plan. According to Rosan, the seawall project is not only seen as a protective infrastructure for coastal areas, but also as part of efforts to open new centers of economic growth. Meanwhile, head of the North Coast of Java Management Authority, Didit Hendriawan Ashaf, explained that the government is still conducting further studies on conditions along Java's northern coastline. Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources Bahlil Lahadalia assured that national energy stocks remain secure. From fuel oil, liquefied petroleum gas to crude oils, all supplies are reportedly above the national minimum standard. Bahlil made the statement after meeting President Prabowo Subianto at the Presidential Palace Complex in Jakarta on Tuesday, May 12, 2026. During the meeting, Bahlil directly reported the readiness of the national energy supply to the head of state.
Tadi saya melapor kepada Bapak Presiden.
Earlier, I reported to the President regarding the readiness of our fuel supply as of today, as well as LPG and crude oil, all of which are above the national minimum standard. So God willing, there is no problem.
In addition to discussing energy stock readiness, Bahlil also reported on the progress of evaluation of mining businesses' permits or IUPs that are not operating in accordance with regulations. According to Bahlil, the government is currently reorganizing a number of mining permits, particularly those located in the forest area. The reorganization is being carried out to ensure that mining activities comply with regulations. The government also wants the utilization of natural resources to continue, taking into account good governance, permit compliance, and environmental sustainability. Spokesperson for Indonesia's Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Yvonne Mengwakang, has affirmed that Indonesia remains committed to sending peacekeeping troops to Lebanon. Yvonne made the statement in Jakarta on Tuesday, May 13, 2026, following the planned deployment of the Garuda contingent to the country. According to Yvonne, the deployment of peacekeeping troops is part of Indonesia's commitment to supporting world peace. She emphasized that the move is also in line with the constitutional mandate and the president's decision to continue Indonesia's active role in the international peacekeeping missions.
But this is our commitment. This is our constitutional mandate. And this is something that is indeed the president's decision to continue our commitment to peace. In accordance with our constitutional mandate, it must certainly continue.
Earlier, Foreign Minister Sugiono said Indonesia would once again deploy 780 personnel of the Garda contingent to Lebanon. The troops are scheduled to depart on May 22, 2026, where the deployment is part of troop rotation to replace Indonesia personnel currently serving in the peacekeeping mission in Lebanon. The National Research and Innovation Agency continues to strengthen research cooperation with Australia. This collaboration is one of its efforts to support the development of Indonesia's research talent and connect them more closely with international research networks. The agency's Director of Talent Management, Ajeng Arumsari, conveyed this during an Indonesia-Australia Science Management and Innovation Symposium held in Jakarta on Tuesday. According to Ajeng, the cooperation with Australia is carried out through partnerships with several universities, including through degree by research program.
And for our program itself, we have the program degree by research program. So we have collaboration with the Australia University.
Through this scheme, the National Research and Innovation Agency opens opportunities for Indonesia researchers to begin involved in broader research activities, while also strengthening the quality of human resources in research and innovation. This collaboration includes the degree by research scheme and doctoral scholarship programs for national research and innovation talents, carried out by partnership with the Indonesia's Endowment Fund for Education. Listener, that concludes today's news bulletin from Voice of Indonesia, bringing you the latest updates from Indonesia to the world.
World Cup is coming! Know better everything about the World Cup. From big moments that make you go, wait, what? To facts you might have missed. Soccer Fiesta.
Soccer Fiesta.
Quick and fun World Cup trivia. Available every day on voinews.id, RRA Digital, and YouTube VOI Official.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republik Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on voinews.id. and RRE Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you. Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Memang tak mudah untukku kembali percaya setelah pahit masa lalu yang telah menyakitimu. Namun ku pastikan padamu diriku berbeda. Akan ku tunjukkan padamu cinta bisa berakhir indah. Yakinkan hatimu padaku, sayangku. Aku berjanji akan selalu menjagamu. Takkan ku biarkan siapapun menyakitimu. Kan ku hapus segala luka di hatimu. Mungkin aku bukan yang pertama, tapi ku pastikan aku yang terakhir di hidupmu. Maukah kau bersamaku selamanya? Namun ku pastikan padamu diriku berbeda. Akan ku tunjukkan padamu cinta bisa berakhir indah. Yakinkan hatimu padaku, sayangku. Aku berjanji akan selalu menjagamu. Takkan ku biarkan siapapun menyakitimu. Kan ku segala luka di hatimu. Mungkin aku bukan yang pertama, tapi ku pastikan aku yang terakhir di hidupmu. Maukah kau bersamaku selamanya? Tulus hati ini padamu, janji takkan ku tinggalkanmu. Ku mohon percaya aku dan terimalah aku sebagai teman hidupmu. Aku berjanji akan selalu menjagamu. Takkan ku biarkan siapapun menyakiti. Bersamaku selamanya. Maukah kau bersamaku selamanya?
Voice of Indonesia.
alhamdulillah setelah kejadian sekarang bahkan
alhamdulillah after disaster people surrounding Galunggung can feel the result of their agriculture from their own natural resources. So it is better for blessing and more beneficial, and also the economic standard of society is also better. That was Saifullah testimony, head of Sukajadi Village, Cisayong District, Tasikmalaya Regency, West Java Province. Sukajadi Village is one of the villages which was directly affected by Mount Galunggung eruption. Eruption of volcano, which is 2,167 meters above the sea level, was very phenomenal in 1982. In the history, Mount Galunggung erupted in 1982. The last eruption has type volcanic vertical, like mushroom cloud of atomic bomb, reaching 20 kilometers to the sky, and was followed by pyroclastic burst of the fine dust which showered Bandung, Tasikmalaya, Garut, Cianjur, and another city in radius 100 kilometers. The negative impact of the eruption was felt by most people surrounding Mount Galunggung. They suffered due to the eruption for more than 1 year.
Tasik Utara lah khususnya, itu sangat berdampak negatif.
North Tasikmalaya especially has negative impact. Even several damage and destruction occurred for 1 year. For 1 year, there were no activities in some regions of the districts, such as Cisayong, Sukaratu, Padakembang, Lewiwisari, Singaparna. From 5 districts of 6 districts, its agricultural lands were collapsed for 1 year. Atang Supriyatna, farmer from Sukajadi Village, Cisayong District, Tasikmalaya Regency, told about tense atmosphere when the eruption happened.
Pertama kelihatan mah malam Senin, jam 11 malam, Minggu malam Senin gitu kan. Kelihatan mah ada asap gitu kan.
Earlier on Monday evening, if I was not mistaken, at 11 p.m. on Sunday evening, there was seen smoke. At the time, general election would be conducted. I was at command post. I was on guard. I did not know that the mountain would erupt. Firstly, there was drizzle. So, when I was outside, wah, raining.
Debu itu.
When entering the post,
gitu kan.
I looked down and it
pas
was not wet. It was
not water, otherwise dust. In the morning at the post, I came to the village, show from the west. Many people over there went down. When he said, the mountain erupted, the mountain erupted. At the time, it was not yet
just.
To the team, Saifullah completed the bitter story, which was experienced due to the eruption that kept erupting for 1 year.
Awal meletus itu, pertama letusan pertama itu tidak ada letusan, hanya mengeluarkan asap itu hari Senin.
When erupting for the first time, Senin, there was no eruption. Selasa, Rabu, only smoke on Monday. On Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday,
Senin,
Thursday.
Senin, Selasa, Rabu,
Thursday evening, the big eruption
besar.
Happened.
Senin, Selasa,
so on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, big eruption happened.
Lahar,
but
letusan.
On Monday, Tuesday, gemuruh, Wednesday, Thursday occurred getaran, overflow, getaran, smoke, getaran, and lava. There was no eruption. There were only thunder and fiber. If we stored water burr, it happened on Monday until Thursday. Around 18:30 after Maghrib, there was great eruption. It was Thursday evening. Disaster of Mount Galunggung eruption caused disadvantage. Around 1 billion rupiah and stopped farmers' activities for 5 years.
Tapi setelah 5 tahun, tahun 87 seolah-olah Galunggung bangkit dan berdampak.
But after 5 years in 1987, as if Galunggung awake and positive impact on agriculture, also has positive impact on local people's economy at Galunggung region. It could be felt which was provisionally collapsed. There was no life, especially for economy. After 5 years, rose up. People under Mount Galunggung slope feel the benefits after the mountain erupted. In 1987, farmers began to reopen their agricultural land. It did not take long time when they realized that their land was more fertile after the eruption. Atang Supriyatna admitted it.
Kalau tanah mah dari dulu juga malah makin bagus kalau sekarang tanahnya itu. Kalau dulu kan rata-rata per hektar di.
Our agriculture lands is more fertile. In the past, 1 hectare land only produced around 4 tons, sometimes 4.5 tons. Today, it is better. Here, the land calculates per plot. So, 100 rice field plots can produce 8 quintals, minimal 7 quintals. If it is calculated, 1 hectare is 700 plots. 7 times 7 equal 49. There is an increase. In the past, it was only 4 tons. Now, it's becoming 49 tons. The structure of the land has been good. Its pH increases. The change of the land structure was explained by Enang Ruspandi, head of Agricultural Counseling Office of Cisayong District, Tasikmalaya Regency. Enang, who works at field in his daily life and give counseling to the farmers, said that Galunggung dust has many elements which are needed by land to increase productivity, either agriculture or vegetable.
Sampai dengan sekarang itu terjadinya fenomena alam. Kalau kita gali lihat daripada kandungan daripada debu galung itu kan ada kandungan yang disebut debu vulkanologi atau unsur-unsur hara yang sangat dibutuhkan.
Until now, natural phenomenon happens. If we dig the content of galunggung dust, that is volcanology dust or hara elements, which are very needed. Micro element is needed by plant. One of them is manganese, V or iron, magnesium, sulfur that supports may develop the plant's growth because those micro elements are very needed by plant, even though in small quantity. In this regard, there is impact on the plants. Before Mount Galunggung erupted, I interviewed the farmer that 1 hectare land only produced 5.9 and increased to be 6.3 by applying technology. Galunggung dust does increase not only the quantity for the agriculture product, but also the quality of the product. Even galunggung rice is well known until abroad.
Sebelum ada galunggung itu produksinya biasa-biasa aja, tetapi setelah ada galunggung itu meningkat kualitas beras pun juga membaik. Beras galunggung yang diproduksi beras dari air galunggung itu.
Before galunggung erupted, its premium product was normal.
Yeah, sehingga but mempunyai harga yang cukup
eruption,
memuaskan.
The product increase.
Berasnya itu
rice quality is also better.
Kalau percaya itu merek
galunggung rice,
beras
which is
Cianjur,
produced from galunggung water,
di supermarket mana
is premium.
Ada sebagian beras
one,
dari sini.
So
dari
that price of the rice
cuma
is quite
orang
satisfying. If you do not believe the brand mark of Cianjur rice at supermarket, most of the product is from here, Cisayong. It is good quality of the rice. The soaking rice here from 1 quintal reaches 50 until 60 kilograms. Generally, the soaking rice can produce much if used fertilizer is suitable and balanced. Quality of the rice of Cisayong Regency received international certification from Institute Market Ecology Organization or IMO. Organic Food Certification Council is from Swiss and has given certificate to more than 300 farmer groups throughout the world that produce a number of organic plants.
Nah, ada yang kami produksi khususnya dari Cisayong, umumnya karena gabung satu kabupaten. Itu
we produce organic rice especially from Cisayong, generally from 31 regencies. We have exported tons of organic rice and even hundreds of tons. Its name is Gapokan Simpatik, which has been exported to Germany, the United States of America and Swiss. There are three types of rice which are exported. They are red rice, black rice, white rice. Those types of rice are organic. Why can the rice be exported? Because the rice has been certificated by IMO. IMO is an international certification agency, so the rice can be sold abroad. Without certification label, the rice cannot be exported.
Alhamdulillah dengan adanya letusan galunggung itu fenomena alam.
Alhamdulillah, because of the eruption of Mount Galunggung, Cisayong villagers enjoy positive impact. The increase of the product is around 5 until 7%. The blessing is felt by the farmers, as told by Atang Supriyatna.
Kan dulu mau akan ada yang kelaparan kan di kita di sini mah nggak ada. Neng mau makan di bapak silahkan.
It is better now. In the past there were people who starved. In the past harvest season was only twice a year. In here harvest is three times a year. Take for example, 100 plots can produce 1 ton. If 3 times a year, it means 3 tons. In the past, it was only 2 tons. Twice, isn't it? Alhamdulillah, it was enough for residents to eat twice or 3 times. Blessing. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah.
Itulah riwayat Galunggung, tapi alhamdulillah setelah kejadian sekarang.
That was history of Galunggung, but alhamdulillah after the event, even residents surrounding Galunggung can feel the agriculture products from their own natural resources sendiri, and bring about more benefit and the economic standard for residents is better. What was delivered by Saifullah, head of Sukajadi Village, reminds us that in life, human beings often face various kinds of unexpected events. Some of them feel sadder, but from those events, the God Almighty appears wisdom, which is worth to be thankful as it is now enjoyed by residents around Mount Galunggung.
Fiesta.
Did you know football has the power to bring people together? Yes, it really does. In Indonesia, watching football together has become a special way to build connection and togetherness. We call it Nobar, short for Nonton Bareng, which means watching a match together. Not in a stadium, but through a live broadcast on TV. From cities to villages, people gather in all kinds of places, on house terraces, in small community spaces, just to enjoy the game side by side. It's not always on a television either. Sometimes, to get a bigger view, they use projectors and screen the match onto a large white surface. And because of time differences with the countries hosting the matches, these gatherings often happen late at night, even lasting until early morning. But that's part of what makes it so special. Watching together makes every moment more exciting, especially when a goal is scored, and the whole place erupts in celebration. In the end, Nobar is more than just watching a game together. It's about coming together, sharing joy, and celebrating connection through football.
Whoa! Soccer Fiesta.
VOI listener, today's Indonesian Wonder takes you to Moyo Island, Indonesia, one of the most popular tourism destinations in East Nusa Tenggara. It is not only ordinary tourists who come to Moyo Island, but some famous people, such as Lady Diana, Mick Jagger, David Bowie, and the most famous footballer, David Beckham, has visited and stayed on this island. Moyo Island is enchanting with its exclusive natural beauty. In addition to its main attraction of marine tourism destinations, such as Tanjung Pasir Beach, the island also has natural destinations such as Matajitu Waterfall and Senggalo Waterfall. Moyo Island is divided into two villages, namely Labuan Aji and Sebotok. The best time to visit the island is during the dry season in June and July, although the tides begin to recede in April. Moyo Island, located in Saleh Bay, is a national park reserve. It's located in a strategic area with other tourism attractions such as Gili Matra in Lombok, Satonda Island Nature Park in Bima Dompu, and Komodo National Park. Listener, Moyo Island can only be reached by sea transportation in a 30-passenger wooden boat. The cost is around 30,000 rupiah or $2 per person for one trip. Alternatively, you can rent a fishing boat from 350,000 to 400,000 rupiah per day from Tanjung Pengawas Fish Landing Base, Labuhan Badas, Sumbawa. The trip from Badas Harbor in Sumbawa Besar City to Moyo takes about 2 hours. If you're lucky, a group of dolphins will swim near the boat as if guiding your journey to Moyo Island. Well, listener, that's Indonesian Wonder from Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Dear listeners, welcome back to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, the segment that introduces you to Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to speak in the Indonesian language. Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia, the Overseas Service of Radio Republik Indonesia, and the Language Center and Development Agency at the Ministry of Education, Culture, Research and Technology of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is
Di Bali,
which means in Bali. Stay tuned. You will listen to a conversation entitled
Baik dipanggang di oven maupun di tungku. Baik dipanggang di oven maupun di tungku,
which means whether oven roasted or stove roasted. This conversation takes place between Chris and the waitress at a restaurant in Bali. The waitress said that both stove-baked and oven-baked chicken betutu taste equally good. Let's listen to their conversations.
Ayam betutu ini direbus atau dipanggang?
Di restoran ini ayamnya dipanggang di tungku. Di tempat lain mungkin dipanggang di oven.
Apakah rasanya beda?
Rasa ayam betutu, baik yang dipanggang di tungku maupun di oven, sama-sama enak.
After listening to the conversations, we will introduce you to some vocabulary related to today's material. We will pronounce it slowly. You can repeat it after us.
Rasa,
which means taste.
Ayam betutu,
which means betutu chicken.
Dipanggang,
which means roasted.
Tungku,
which means stove.
Oven,
which means oven.
Sama-sama,
which means equally.
Enak,
which means delicious.
Rasa ayam betutu, baik yang dipanggang di tungku maupun di oven, sama-sama enak. Rasa ayam betutu, baik yang dipanggang di tungku maupun di oven, sama-sama enak.
Which means the taste of chicken betutu, whether roasted on the stove or in the oven, is equally good.
Direbus.
Which means boiled or stewed.
Restoran.
Which means restaurant. In the conversations, you hear this statement.
Rasa ayam betutu, baik yang dipanggang di tungku maupun di oven, sama-sama enak. Rasa ayam betutu, baik yang dipanggang di tungku maupun di oven, sama-sama enak.
Which means the taste of betutu chicken is good whether roasted on the stove or in the oven. In this statement, there is an expression.
Baik yang dipanggang di tungku maupun di oven. Baik yang dipanggang di tungku maupun di oven.
Which means whether roasted on the stove or in the oven. The expression contains a connection between
Ayam betutu dipanggang di tungku,
which means betutu chicken roasted on the stove, and
Di dalam oven,
which means in the oven, which is paired by the conjunction
Baik,
which means whether or both, and
maupun,
which means or and. The conjunction
baik
and
maupun,
which means whether and or, in the expression connects the parts of the sentence that states how betutu chicken being roasted in the stove and being roasted in an oven, which produces the same quality of taste.
Ayam betutu ini direbus atau dipanggang?
Di restoran ini ayamnya dipanggang di tungku, di tempat lain mungkin dipanggang di oven.
Apakah rasanya beda?
Rasa ayam betutu, baik yang dipanggang di tungku maupun di oven, sama-sama enak.
Betutu is a Balinese specialty that can be made from chicken or duck. The word betutu means a dish made from chicken or duck meat that is seasoned and cooked in a shell until the meat and bones are tender. The special seasoning gives off a distinctive aroma of spices and can make the texture of the meat tender. Betutu was declared an Indonesian Intangible Cultural Heritage by the Indonesian government in 2017. Let's listen to other examples of the use of the conjunction
baik, baik,
which means whether, and
maupun, maupun,
which means or and end in other sentences.
Saya suka masakan ikan, baik ikan air laut maupun ikan air tawar. Saya suka masakan ikan, baik ikan air laut maupun ikan air tawar.
Which means I like to eat both salted fish and fresh water fish.
Pemandangan bawah laut baik di Wakatobi maupun di Lombok sangat indah. Pemandangan bawah laut baik di Wakatobi maupun di Lombok sangat indah.
Which means the underwater landscape both in Wakatobi and Lombok is very beautiful. Listeners, that was today's episode of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia with the conversations entitled
Rasa ayam betutu, baik yang dipanggang di tungku maupun di oven, sama-sama enak. Rasa ayam betutu, baik yang dipanggang di tungku maupun di oven, sama-sama enak.
Which means the taste of betutu chicken is good, whether roasted on the stove or in the oven. Hopefully, today's topic is useful for those of you who want to know more about the Indonesian language. We meet again with more lessons. I'm Daniel and my colleague,
Ofra.
Thank you for your attentions.
Sampai jumpa.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, today's edition of Music Corner presents a traditional song from West Sumatra entitled Tak Tun Tuang. The song was popularized by Upia, an activist of Minang or native West Sumatra songs and culture. The song was released in 2016 and went viral in Malaysia and Thailand in 2017. Many Malaysian and Thai netizens sang the song Tak Tun Tuang. The word Tak Tun Tuang doesn't have a special meaning, but just an imitation of the sound of a typical Minang drum rhythm, while other lyrics contain a message to love yourself for who you are. No matter what people say, the important thing is not to disturb others. Well, listener, here is the traditional song from West Sumatra, entitled Tak Tun Tuang by Upia. Happy listening!